Okay. It's always difficult to talk about Pesach and Chametz related issues after Pesach, because normally no one's interested. But Chametz Shavuot of Pesach is the one Pesach topic that should be still interesting after Pesach, and it's usually, practically speaking, Halacha L'maisa, my least favorite topic in the whole world, because right after Pesach, I get like a million emails. Can I shop here? Can I shop there? And we'll send a list. You can shop at these 18 stores. But what about the 19th store? Like, come on, are the 18 stores not good enough for you? Do you really need the 19th store? But that's just the way it works with Chametz Shavuot and Pesach. So I want to, maybe at the end we'll get into some of the Halacha L'maisa and what the contemporary issues are with Chametz Shavuot and Pesach. But I want to just give a broad view of the sugya tonight, or whatever I was able to get into in my preparations today, just a broad view of the sugya, what the lumdus behind Chametz Shavuot of Pesach is, and then maybe some of the interesting halachic discussions that emerge from it, especially the contemporary ones. You know, there was a whole sichsuch about Target this year, whether you're allowed to buy a Target, you're not allowed to buy at Target. First everyone was saying no, then they realized that really it's yes, and then really it's maybe. So maybe we'll get into what that whole back and forth was. But first, let's just take a look at the sugya in general. It really starts with a Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim, Dav Chav Chesem Aleph. It's source number one in the packets. Chametz shel nachri shavra alav haPesach mutar b'hanah. So the Mishnah is very clear. Chametz of a guy that a guy owned on Pesach is mutar b'hanah, meaning we don't need to get rid of all chametz that existed in the world before, when Pesach was, and start making all new chametz after Pesach. If it existed in the world but was owned by a guy during Pesach, that's fine, that's mutar b'hanah. And the Gemara says, yeah, mutar b'hanah, it means mutar b'achila also. It's not just mutar b'hanah, it's, not the Gemara, but the Rif and the Rash, all the posts can point out that means when it says, shal nachri, shavar lav Pesach, mutar b'hanah, it doesn't mean that it's also b'achila and only mutar b'hanah. It's mutar b'achila also. If a guy owned your chametz, if the guy owned chametz on Pesach, totally fine. But then, says the Mishnah, v'shal Yisrael, asr b'hanah. Chametz shal Yisrael, shavar lav haPesach, is asr b'hanah. That if a Jew owned the chametz, it's asr b'hanah. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion. Which Tana can we attribute this Mishnah to? Without getting into the whole discussion, the Maskanas HaDevarim is that we're assuming, like Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that on a Daraisa level, even chametz that was owned by a Jew on Pesach, Midoraisa, is mutter after Pesach. The whole Isra of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach is an Isra Derabanan that Chazal were gozer because they, not gozer, they made a knas, knasa konis, is the Lashon of the Gemara, since the person violated Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So since a Jew was in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh on Pesach, by owning that chametz, so that chametz now becomes asr, not only ba'achila, but even ba'hana'a. So you're not allowed to give it to someone that you know as a gift. You have to get rid of it. You have to destroy any chametz that was over lava Pesach, that was owned by a Jew on Pesach. Now the Gemara is very clear as to the reason for the isser. The Gemara says it's a knas because you violated Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So it seems, just from the simple reading of the Gemara, that it's only if you actually violated the isser of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And in fact, that's the sheet of the Hagos HaShri quotes from an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah is in Chelek Beis from Resh Mem Vav. I don't think I had a chance to put it in the Mar Makomos, but the Hagos HaShri in Siman Dalet quotes from the Or Zeruah like this, that it's only if one really violated owning chametz on Pesach, then we say that there's a knas that such chametz is going to be Asr Bahana'a. However, many Rishonim, including the Rambam, and this is the Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, the way the Magen Mishnah understands, and this is the Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch, hold that even if you didn't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, there could still be a problem of Chametz Shavuot Lava Pesach. For example, let's say a person was mafkir all of his chametz before Pesach. So he didn't own it. He did not violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. He was mafkir everything. But that chametz could have been subject to Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. It was still in his possession one way or the other. We would still apply the knas. And the Rosh explains, he's explaining Yerushalmi really, that pretty much says this explicitly. Yerushalmi gives that example. Yerushalmi says that if a person is mafkir his chametz, it's still going to be a violation, according to Reish Lakish, of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So the Rosh says, what's pshat? If the whole idea is that it's a knas, that you violated Bal Yirah, I'm sorry, it's still going to be a problem of chametz Shavuot of Pesach. But if the whole idea is that you violated Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, well, if you're mafkir, you didn't violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So why would there be an issue of Chametz Shavuot Lav Pesach? Says the Rosh, even if you were mafkir, we're concerned, lo yafkirenu v'yomer ifkartin. you won't really be mafkir, you'll just say that you were mafkir. We're concerned for aharama, that a person is going to say that he was mafkir and not really be mafkir. Whether the rush means that you weren't mafkir at all, and then you'll claim you were mafkir, or whether he means that you were mafkir, just not b'leiv shalem, and you're going to claim to have been mafkir at b'leiv shalem, whatever he means, it's some sort of harama, that we're afraid that you're going to pull some sort of shtick to get around it, and even if you didn't violate b'leiv rabbi, you might say, we're going to be concerned about chametz shavar lav ha-pesach. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah passes this way explicitly. If you look in Sif Katan Tes in the Mishnah Berurah, actually take a look first in source number 5 in Sif Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Memches, Chametz Shal Yisrael Sha'avar Alav HaPesach Aser Bahana'a, Chametz of a Jew that was Avar Alav HaPesach Aser Bahana'a, says Shulchan Aruch, Afilu Hinicho Shogeg O Anus. Even if you didn't take care of it, Bishogeg, or you didn't take care of it because of an onus, you were unable to take care of it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Tess in the middle of source number 6, Ratzolomer sheyada el shaya onus lo yachal leva'aro, that you weren't able, you knew about it, but you just couldn't. There was something in your way that you were unable to be meva'arit, va'afal pi de bezelo avra bal yira. Now, if it was an onus, and you couldn't be meva'arit, so you didn't violate bal yira, afilu hachi kansinan hetera atuvisura. We still make a knas. Chametz shavar lav ha-pesach still applies. Di sharina lei asu l'shui l'chadchila. If we're going to allow the person to keep that chametz after Pesach, then he might come to leave it there even l'chadchila. Now, what exactly that means? The Bir Halacha has a discussion. It's really machlokas rishonim. Let's say you have a person who was what does it mean? Let's back up a second. The Shulchan Aruch said that if the reason you didn't get rid of your chametz, you didn't take care of your chametz, was an ones, then it's still a violation of chametz shavar lav ha-pesach. That chametz still has to be gotten rid of. What does that mean? It's an ones. What did you do? What didn't you do? So there's machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim understand that it means that you did bittel, because what kind of ones could happen that you didn't do bittel? So you must have done bittel. You did bittel chametz. It's just that you didn't do biur. You didn't do the bedika biur. You didn't search after it and get rid of it. But you did bittel. And still, it's considered chametz shavar lav ha-pesach, even though you did bittel. Others say, no, ones means you didn't take care of it. You didn't get meaning you didn't take care of it at all. Bittel makes it that it's not yours. So this is a machlokes rishon, Rabbeinu Manoach, and in his commentary in the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Daled, says that if you were actually mevatel and you were just onus on the biur, there's no iser because you were mevatel the chametz. But the way many of the Achronim understand the Ramban is that the iser is even if you were mevatel. But what's the lamdas over here? The main chakira that you find in Achronim about Chametz Shavar Lav Pesach was actually put together very beautifully in a piece that Rabbi Ginnak wrote in one of the Masorah journals. I included the article in the back of the packet over here, where he formulates the basic chakira. The basic chakira in lamdas is, I think most of the machlokas in halacha can easily fit or neatly fit into this chakira, into this one very simple chakira. We know there's an isser of chametz on Pesach. We're now learning that there's an isser of chametz that existed on Pesach even now that Pesach is over. How closely related are those two isurim? Well, we know the isser of chametz on Pesach is nisr daraisa. We know that the isser after Pesach is nisr drabanan. Now, when the drabanan make isurim, gzeros, knasos, takanos, they do it in a couple of different ways. One way of doing it is the Rabbanan find an Isra Daraisa or a mitzvah Daraisa and they build on it. They take that mitzvah and they expand it, or that Isra and they expand it. But they're working with that same Isra. And that's how the Rabbanan do many things. Take, for example, the mitzvah of benching. I don't know, this first one came to mind. The mitzvah of benching. So on a Daraisa level, what does a person have to do to bench? According to one sheet in the Gemara, Brich Rachmana Dahe Pita. Blessed is the God of this bread. Okay, done. Thank you, Hashem. All finished. But the Rabbanan expanded that, and the Rabbanan said, "Oh, you gotta mention Eretz Yisrael. You gotta mention Yerushalayim. You gotta mention." Okay, there are a lot of things we have to mention. And we therefore have four brachos at the end of the day of how to be yotzei benching with a whole nusach, and it takes some time to the point that people are afraid to wash because they don't want to bench because it's such an investment of time. Okay, wonderful. So that's what the Chum did. What did they do? Clearly in that case, they didn't invent a new mitzvah out of whole cloth. They didn't say, oh, there's no mitzvah here, but it's such a great idea to bless God after a meal, so we'll make up a new mitzvah. That's not what they did. They took a mitzvah that existed, a mitzvah d'oraisa, and they expanded it. Sometimes, though, the Chachamim make a new mitzvah that didn't exist. Take, for example, Mikra Megillah. There's no mitzvah in the Torah of anything on Purim. And the Chachamim decided we're going to make a new mitzvah that makes sense, brand new mitzvah, Mikra Megillah. It's not an expansion of any existing mitzvah d'oraisa, at least b'pashtos, unless you say Zechirus HaMalik, but pashtos is not an expansion of any existing mitzvah. The same could apply to Isurin. Sometimes a Chum might make an Isur by expanding an existing Isur, and sometimes they'll make an Isur not to expand an existing Isur, but because they're afraid that if you do this, it might lead to that. It's not an expansion of it, but this is, to put it differently, sometimes when you have an Isur, the Chum made an Isur because it resembles an existing Isur, and sometimes because this might lead to an existing Isser. Normally when it resembles an existing Isser, it's just an expansion of the existing Isser. So we're saying that Isser now includes this activity as well. When it might lead to existing Isser, there's more room to argue that it's a brand new takana. Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach, what is this? Is this an Isser Chametz? Or is this Stam, a Knas that the Chum punished you for violating an Avera? You did something wrong, Chum are punishing you. You cannot get benefit from that chametz. So that's the basic chakira. Did they take the Yisr chametz and expand it? Or did they just make a brand new Yisr, a brand new knas, having nothing to do with the Yisr chametz? It's called chametz shavar lava pesach, because that's the description of what it is. But the Yisr itself, the actual character of the Yisr, is not an Yisr chametz, it's a new Yisr. That's the basic chakira. And Rabbi Ganach suggests five nafkaminas in this chakira, and I think we could suggest one or two more. First, he brings some rayas. He points out, if you look in that piece, he points out in the first paragraph, how Rambam perek tezvav milchus macholos surus halacha test. The Rambam writes as follows: v'zel shana chametz bepesach afu pi shehume yisura Torah eino b'cholos elu lefi she'ena tarovus asura li olam. The Rambam says that the reason that you can't be mevatel chametz in a taroves, in a mixture on Pesach, is because chametz is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's something that's one day going to become mutter. And the general rule is that something that will become mutter cannot become batel. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is one of the basic principles of Yaradeya. When you learn Hilchos Taroves, is that something that will one day become mutter cannot become batel in Taroves. So Rambam says chametz shavar lo pesach is going to be asur even b'kol, not chametz shavar, chametz on pesach is asur even b'mashehu. You never say it's batel. Why? Because just wait, it will become mutter after Pesach. So says Rabbi Ganach, and he points out that Rav Aryeh Leib Malin points this out. Rav Aryeh Leib Malin in his Chidushim in Simen Yud says, wait a second. We pass in chametz shavar lo pesach zaser. So what do you mean? It's not going to become batel because it will just be mutter after Pesach. It's not going to be mutter after Pesach. It's going to be usher after Pesach. That's going to be chametz shavar lo pesach. So how can you say that it's not going to be batel on Pesach because it will one day be mutter? It's not going to one day be mutter. So says Rabbi Le Malin, yeah, it's going to be usher after Pesach, but that's a different isser. The isser of chametz is going to be gone when Pesach is over. Yeah, there is a din of chametz shavar lo pesach, but don't be fooled by its name, chametz shavar lo pesach. That's not an isur chametz. That's a knas that the rabbanim punish you for being a bad guy and owning chametz. But it has nothing to do with the isur chametz. It's a separate isur. And that's what's muchach from the Rambam. On the flip side, he suggests that it's muchach from Tosfos and Daf Yud and Meseches Pesachim the other way. Why? Because Tosfos, The Mishnah Dav Yud in Maseches Pesachim talks about if a person forgot to do Bedika or otherwise didn't do Bedika on early Yudalid on the night of the 14th, so what should he do? Yivdok B'Yudalid. He should do Bedika instead on the 14th itself, on Erev Pesach. Lo Badak B'Yudalid, if he didn't do bedika on Erev Pesach, yivdok bitoch hamoed. He should be bodek bitoch hamoed. Lo badak bitoch hamoed. He didn't do bedika bitoch hamoed, and I'm purposely not translating that. Yivdok la'achar hamoed. He should do bedika after the moed. What do those words mean? When are we talking about? Okay, I know what orli yadal means, because the Gemara spends like two blot at the beginning of Pesachim translating the word or. That means the night of the 14th, the night of Bedikas Chametz. Okay, you didn't do Bedika then, you do it the morning of Yadalid. I know what that means also. You didn't do it on the morning of Yadalid, Yivdok Petoch HaMoed. What does that mean? What's Petoch HaMoed? When are we talking? What do you think? Pashtus?
On Pesach.
On Pesach. What? Pesach, Yantif, anytime during the actual Zman Nisim. That's what I would have said. Says Rashi, B'toch HaMoed means B'sha'a Shishis, during the sixth hour of the day of Erev Pesach. What does it mean, Moed? It doesn't mean Yantif. The Moed HaBiur, the time when Biur is supposed to happen. That's B'toch HaMoed, the time that you're supposed to be doing Biur. La'achar HaMoed is Misheshos and Lemaila, Ad Shetechshach. Meaning, according to Rashi, the entire Gemara is about Erev Pesach. There's nothing about Pesach itself. The whole Gemara is all about Erev Pesach. Wild. Doesn't sound like the Pasha Pshat of the Mishnah. But that's how Rashi says. So what would you do if you found on Pesach? Okay, so you got to deal with that. Says Tosfos, no, we were right. Tosfos says, no, B'toch HaMoed means on Yantif. Lo Badach B'toch HaMoed Yivdok. La'achar HaMoed. What does la'achar HaMoed mean? If B'toch HaMoed means on Yantav, la'achar HaMoed means after Yantav. Meaning like now. You would do B'dika. What do you mean? Why would I do B'dika now? For what? And that must have been what bothered Rashi. It doesn't make sense to do B'dika la'achar HaMoed. So what does Tosa say? No, you got to do B'dika la'achar HaMoed if you hadn't done it earlier. Why? What's Tosa going to say? Chamei Shavar Lava Pesach. If you didn't do it earlier, you didn't take care of it before, you got to take care of it now. Because Chamei Shavar Lava Pesach Zaser. So Rabbi Gnach just points out, I think it's a beautiful diuk in Tosfos. He says, well, wait a second. If Chamei Shavar Lava Pesach is not an Isser Chamei, it's just its own separate Isser, a brand new Isser. Do we ever find any other Isser in the Torah where there's a mitzvah B'dika Biur? Where there's a mitzvah to go, search for it, look for it, find it, and destroy it? We don't have such a mitzvah by Nevela, we don't have such a mitzvah by Trefa, by Chazer, by Behemetme, any type of Behemetme, we don't have it by anything. By Stam Yenam, by... There's no mitzvah of Bedika, of looking for any other Isser. There's only a mitzvah Bedika for the Isser of Chametz. Why? So that's what Tosos and Dav Beis and Pesachim and the Ran at the beginning of Pesachim talk about, that since the Torah was so machmir about Chametz to begin with, Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh, so that's why the Chachamim followed the lead of the Torah and said, we better be machmir that you got to look for it also. Right? That's why we have a special din, Bedika Biur Dafka, by an Isser Chametz. What follows from Tosos is that if Tosos is going to say that there's a mitzvah Bedika Biur for Chametz Sha'over Lava Pesach, Chametz Sha'over Lava Pesach must be an Isser Chametz. It must not be its own separate Isser. If it's its own separate Isser, you shouldn't have B'dika Biur. That Isser shouldn't be stronger than the Isser of Chazra and the Isser of Trefa, Nevela, anything else. So it must be that it's its own separate Isser. So it would turn out this Chakira, Chametz Sha'over Lava Pesach, its own separate Isser, or is it a brand new Isser, is really a Machlokas Rambam and Tosfos. The Mainaf Kamina. Whether it's, one nafkamina, according to this, might be whether there is a requirement to do bedika afterwards. But Rabbi Gnach collects an interesting collection of nafkaminas. One, he says, Tosfos and Beitza and Davdalir and Beis holds that we know there's an isser to be mevatel isser l'chadchila. If you have, you have a little bit of a davar aser, and you want to be able to eat it, so you know that things are batal b'shishim, so you want to add it in to shishim, and that way you'll be mevatel, then it will be kosher. So you're not allowed to do that. And not only you're not allowed to do that, if you do it, it doesn't work. If you do it on purpose, it doesn't work. You're not allowed to be mevatel isser l'chadchila. So this is, it's a difficult question to figure out, just as a parenthetical note, when a hashkacha agency gives a hashkacha to something, can they allow for bitul iser? I mean, let's say they know there's a non-kosher ingredient going into something. So can they allow for a bittul iser? Because, you know, the halachas of bittul are in Shulchan Aruch. They're just saying that it's kosher now. The way it's made, it's kosher, because it's batel. So all the Ashkacha agencies that we would rely on would never give Ashkacha. As Rav Shapter writes in one of his Sfarim, it's when you're giving your Gishpank on something, you say, this is, you know, that this is perfectly kosher, you're saying that all the ingredients are perfectly kosher. So yeah, in a chinami, in halacha, if something was already batel, it may be kosher, but you can't say l'chadchila that I'm going to allow with my stamp that this should be the way it's made. Because that would be like being mevatel iser l'chadchila. But what if there's no hashkacha? It comes up. What if there's no hashkacha? A lot of Rabbi Abadi's psakim. You know, Rabbi Abadi is known for his wild psakim, and you know, all of a sudden everything is mutter, it seems, in kashrus. A lot of his psakim is because, unlike every hashkacha organization, he just says, you know, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch called bittul, so we rely on bittul. Even if there's no hashkacha in it, but he did his research, so it's batul, so that's it. Even for Ashkenazim, kitnius, batul barov, okay, so anytime kitnius is less than the rov of the ingredients of the, okay, so that's fine. So regular soda without the special kosher Pesach, corn syrup is not the majority, it's water is the majority. So it's unbelievable. I mean, you have questions like this come up all the time. Someone was just asking me about nutritional supplements or whatever that had non-kosher ingredients. So I looked into it. The non-kosher ingredients were batel. But I said to the person, do you want, you know, there are non-kosher ingredients here. How big of a need is it? You know, you really need to assess. Do I want to rely on bittul as a l'chadchila? But anyway, generally speaking, you're not allowed to be mevatel iser l'chadchila. Now, what if you have an iser that's already mixed with heter, but it's not enough to be mevatel it? Let's say you have a bug that's crushed a little bit, so it's not a beria, it's not a full bug, and it's mixed with a little bit of liquid. But not enough, not rov, not shish, whatever, not enough to be mevatel it. Can you then add to the already existing mixture? Well, let's not take a bug. Milk. You have milk, it's mixed with some chicken soup. Let's not even take milk. You have chazer in your chalent. Right? You have some chazer in your chalent. Okay, you're not going to eat a chalent with chazer without being mevatel at first. So you want to add a little more kosher ingredients to your chalent to make sure that there's bittul. There's already tarovis. You're not putting chazer in the chalent. The chazer is already in the chalent. It's just not enough to be mevatel. Can you then add to the tarovis to be mevatel it? So Tosfos writes in Beitza Dav Dalid that if the iser is an iser drabanan and it's kavarnas ariv, it's already betaroves, you're allowed to add more to be mevatel it. However, Tosfos says that's only if it's an iser that's ein ikaro min haTorah. It's an Issa Drabanan that's not based on an Issa Daraisa. It's a new separate Issa Drabanan. But if it's an Issa Drabanan that's Ikaro Min HaTorah, that's based on an Issa Daraisa, then even if it's Kvar Nisari, if it's already in a Taroves, you're not allowed to be Mevatalit. You're not allowed to add more to be Mevatalit. What about Chametz Ravalov Pesach? You have Chametz Ravalov Pesach is already in a little bit of a Taroves. Can you add more to be Mevatalit? So if you say the Chametz Ravalov Pesach is a continuation of the, or an expansion of the Yisr of Chametz, that's Ikaro Min HaTorah. You can't be Mevatalit. But if you hold that it's its own separate Yisr, then sure you could be Mevatalit, no problem. Another Nafkamina, Rabbi Ganak suggests, you have a Kli Cheres that was Bolea Tam Chametz. So Kli Cheres, you have your favorite mug, or a dish, a bowl, and it was Bolea Tam Chametz on Pesach. So now it's Chametz Shavralav HaPesach. Can you kasher it? So generally speaking, we don't kasher Kli Cheres. We assume that there's no way you can get the Tam out of it. But there is a Shitas Bali Itur that holds you could do Agala Gimel Panim. That if you dip it in boiling water three times, that would be enough to kasher Kli Cheres. We don't hold like that Bali Itur. Unless it's an Isser Drabanan She'eni Karo Min HaTorah. Then we rely on the Bali Yitzir. Rav Moshe has one tshuva where he says that you could be mitzarev that Bali Yitzir with the Shita of the, I think it's Chacham Tzvi, who says that after Yud Beis Chodesh, after 12 months, all Tam just disappears from a Kli when it's a Makom Hefsid Merubah. So Moshe talks about, like, you get this very fancy set of dishes as a Yerusha or something, and it's extremely expensive. So can you ever use it if the grandmother that you yarshined it from didn't keep kosher? So Rav Moshe, or you're a Baal Tshuva. No, he was talking about a Baal Tshuva, actually. You're being Chozer B'Tshuva, so to throw away your dish is very, very expensive. So Behefsin Meruba, Hagala Gimel Pamim, Yud Beis Chodesh, he's willing to be Mitzarif. But generally speaking, we don't paskin this way. That's one of my favorite stories Rabbi Neuberger used to tell when he would teach in the Smicha classes about being Machshir Kelim. He told the Maisa about a Shaila he got about dishes from a family that had this expensive Yerusha that they got from the Babi or whatever, and Rabbi Neuberger was a young rabbi at the time. It was like one of his first shailas, and he said, yeah, okay, this is Rav Moshe. Hagala Gimel Pamim, Yud Beis Chodesh, and he told them that they could be Samech on that. Hefsim Meruba, it's a major, major loss, a very expensive set. And someone came over to him, and another rabbi called him in the community, said, you paskin that that's a Hefsim Meruba for them? And he said, yeah. And he said, you know, they have two Mercedes parked in their driveway. That's a Hefsim Meruba for them. You know how rich they are? And he felt terribly about it. And he went to yeshiva the next day, and he spoke to Rav David Lipschitz, Zichrono Livracha, and Rav David told him, you paskind right. You're 100% correct. Don't worry about it. And he said, years later, he didn't even know the family. He said, years later, the guy comes over to him at a bar mitzvah or something, or at a chasada, and says, Rabbi Neuberger, it's because of you that I'm from today, that my family is from today, that my children go to yeshiva. I don't even know you. Why is it because of me? So the guy said, we were deciding, should we be Chozer B'Tshuva, should we not be Chozer B'Tshuva? And I was very into it. My wife was a little more hesitant, and she said, if I get to keep my dishes, I'm in. If I don't get to keep my dishes, I'm out. Have some Ruba Gadol Mizah? Can you have a bigger Have some Ruba? So, okay. So, but that's what my should. But anyway, but Hagala Gimel Pam, we generally would only allow for Nisad Rabban She'eni Karo Min HaTorah. See, here will be another Nafkamina. Would we allow Hagala Gimel Pam and Klicharis that's Balea Chamei Shavalav Pesach? Or another Nafkamina. The Torah in Arachayim in some Tuf Mem Zayin says that Chamei Shavalav Pesach can be Batal B'Shishim. Magen Avraham says Batal B'Rov. Machlokas whether it's batel b'shishim or b'rov. So if it's nisu chametz, it would make sense that you need shishim. If it's a brand new kenas midrabanan, so then it shouldn't follow the din. It shouldn't necessarily have to follow the dinim of shishim. Rabbi Ganak has a couple of other nafkaminas. I just don't want to get too bogged down with them. Let me just point out one more that Rabbi Ganak doesn't mention. If Reuven owns chametz on Pesach, is it aser for Shimon to be nana from that chametz, or only usher for Reuven to be nana from that chametz? So what would you think of Misvara? Reuven's the guy who didn't take care of his chametz and owned the chametz on Pesach. So is it an isser for Shimon to be nana from that chametz? Very nogel l'maisa. A lot of people were asking me about Crazy Arnie's. I think that's what it's called. It's a liquor store on Rockaway Turnpike. I believe it's owned by a Jew. They don't do mechira. So Reuven, or Arnie in this case, owns chametz on Pesach. He doesn't take care of his chametz. Am I allowed to be nana from that chametz? So this is what we do. We're getting nervous about all these stores. I didn't own it. Someone else owned it. It happens to be Machlokas Rishonim. The Rabbeinu Menoach in Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dal, quotes a Tshuvas Harif that only those who violated the Isser have a knatz. The knas of Chametz Shavuot Pesach is only for people who actually violated the Isser. The Ramban, the Ran, the Meiri all say that the knas applies to everybody, and that's what we pass, and that it applies to everybody. That whether you're the one that violated the Isser or not, the knas applies to you. What's the machlokas about? One could argue, is this an extension of an Isser Chametz? Isser Chametz has nothing to do with the Gavra. It has nothing to do with who the owner is. If something is Chametz, it's Chametz. So if we're expanding chametz and we're saying, guess what, even after Pesach, there's still an Isser chametz, it has nothing to do with who violated the chametz on Pesach. We're just saying that because it was, this is now chefetz of chametz. But if it's a brand new Isser that's a knas, purely a knas on the gavra, you did something terrible, so we're going to get you, we're going to punish you. So then it should only be on that gavra, it should only be on that person who actually violated the Isser of chametz. Now, that's the basic chakira. Let's talk practically for a few moments. Let's see, how should we... First we'll talk practically, just in case people aren't aware of the practical issues, and then maybe we'll get into some of the more interesting halachic cases that come up. Practically speaking, it used to be very simple to tell whether something was chametz shavuot of Pesach, because you'd buy food from a baker, let's say. The baker made all the chametz himself, so you just have to tell whether he's Jewish or not. And if he's Jewish and he had it on Pesach, that's chametz shavuot of Pesach. If he's not Jewish, then fine. Nowadays, you go to a supermarket. So people who are still stuck in the Talmudic era mindset, you know, where whoever has the chametz is the one who made it, will think, okay, all I have to do is find out if the owner of the supermarket is Jewish. If he is, I got a problem. If he's not, I don't have a problem. So, for example, our supermarket here on right across from the conservative shul, what's the supermarket? Key Food. So it's owned by a nice Dominican man who is, I think he's nice. Who's not a Jew, so no problem, right? It's not chametz shavuot of Pesach. But practically speaking, nowadays that's not the way it works, because he doesn't sit there making every Cheerio and baking every Cheerio and every Apple Jacks. I don't know if this thing you, so he doesn't. He's not the one that makes all the chametz. He just sells it. So what happens? There are three levels actually. There's the manufacturer, the distributor, or the wholesaler, and then then him, who's the retailer. So we need to actually trace it back and figure out, was it manufactured by a Jew and owned by the manufacturer on Pesach? Because even if the manufacturer is manufacturing it for somebody else, till it goes to that somebody else, the manufacturer is the owner of it. Does the distributor, a Jew? And did he have it on Pesach? And then, in the last level, we look at whether the actual retailer is a Jew. The Metzius happens to be that those who have researched this say that a well-run supermarket will not allow things to stay on their shelves for more than 2 weeks, generally. Things have a two-week shelf life in the supermarket, and by then it's already something else, and the suppliers also. It will never be more than 2 weeks. So usually by 4 weeks after Pesach, l'kulei alma, you're outside of the gedder of safek, even, whether it's chametz shavuot of Pesach, even if everyone along the line is Jewish. You're outside the gedder of safek. Within the first 4 weeks, you're within the gedder of safek, at least. Safek d'rabanan l'kula, chametz shavuot of Pesach is nisa d'rabanan, but still, if you could be mevarer, or if you could avoid it, you'd rather not have to rely on the safek d'rabanan l'kula. What was the issue with the lists, with Target, and with all that? So for years, there was a place, I think it was called CNS, was like one of the largest distributors of chametz. It was the middleman. It was not the manufacturer, it was not the actual grocer, but they supply, I think it's like the second or third largest supplier of grocery chains in America, and they supply Target and many, many other, A&P, and many other major grocery chains. And CNS was like Conan Siegel or something. It was like, it was two very clearly Jewish names. So that posed a very, very big problem. What they did was, and for years, I think it was Rabbi Teitz who used to do it, they did a mechiras chametz. So they sold their chametz. Problem is, it's a massive operation. They're not stopping for the week of Pesach. They're going to continue to operate. The chametz that they have, they're going to continue to sell. They're going to buy chametz, and they're going to continue to sell that. So what do you do with that? When you have like a massive operation like that, it's not going to shut down. So they sold all their chametz, but then the chametz that they sold, they're selling again to now Target and A&B and all these other places. But they already sold that chametz, so is that allowed? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, or Chaim Chelek Dalet Siman Sadivah. And he in source number 13, he writes, Hinei liknos dvarim chamutzim achar shavar ha-pesach, mechen v'nichas shir achar shavar zman. Well, he says once this man passes that you could be matir savit rabbal makula. Then he goes on to say, he says, "Avol k'sha saviku machmas shechen v'ni achashud machar chemtzel kodem haPesach l'nachri." The guy whose chashud sold his chametz to a guy before Pesach, shev shloheh lo harbe, v'hutzrach liknos b'toch haPesach chametz acher shloheh b'chlal sheishlach Hashem yitin lo me'elu shekana b'toch haPesach. He says, if he's buying new chametz on Pesach, that was not included in the mechira, then that could be a real problem, because that was not included in the mechira. But then he goes on to say that if the mechira was done before Pesach, and then that guy went and continued to do business with that chametz that he already sold to a guy, so how do you view that? So intuitively, what would you think? A guy sold his chametz before Pesach to a guy. Very serious sale, all the kinyanim, we do everything right. And then it turns out that he continued to do business with that chametz. So is the sale valid or invalid? What would you think? What would you think?
The second one should be invalid.
The second one should be invalid, meaning the original sale should be valid. And the fact that he's selling to somebody else, he's a ganav, he's going and he's selling the Brooklyn Bridge to someone. Right? That's how Ramesh understood. That his mechiras chametz is fine. And therefore, it's not going to be a violation of chametz shavar lava Pesach. His mechiras chametz was real. It's just that the fact that he continues to do business, he's a ganav. So good, CNS was a ganav all those years, but that's lomalav lomorid for me. That's what Ramesh understood. Salvechik thought differently. He thought if he's going to continue to run his business as normal, then obviously he didn't really intend to sell it in the first place. And there was no real Gemiras Das on the Mechira in the first place. And many other people were very suspicious of this kind of Mechira. So, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Rabbi Taitz who used to do the Mechira al Pira Maisha. And he did the Mechira for this, so many people relied on it. But there was a lot of controversy about it because a lot of people were very unhappy with this Mechira. And that's where a lot of the problems came in with places like Target and things like that. I think starting maybe last year or 2 years ago, they changed the whole Mechira. So they no longer do a Mechira where they sell the chametz. Now CNS sells their entire business for the duration of Pesach. And yeah, continues to run as a business because it's a business that actually belongs to a guy. And they made sure that it's done in a legal way where it would hold up in court. Now you'll say, well, wait, what, are they crazy? They're selling their entire business in a way that would actually hold up in court? Yeah, but keep in mind what that means. Let's say the business is valued at, just pick a number, $50 million. So the way we do a mechira, if we're selling, when I sell to John Brown and Erev Pesach, so someone told me over Pesach that John Brown's wife is Jewish. I don't know if that's true. That's a little scary. But because that would mean his children are Jewish. If he dies in Pesach, which I guess is like a 1 in 52 chance, that's, yeah, a little scary. So I have to ask Rabbi Willing about that. I can't be true, right? So I hope not. So the... yeah, someone told me on Pesach, he said, yeah, I daven in Riverdale and Rabbi Willick Shul, and I keep asking about it. He won't answer me. I don't know what that means. I have to ask him. So anyway, so let's, when we sold to John Brown, so I'm selling him, you know, I remember I was once sitting next to a rabbi from a more well-to-do community from Lawrence, and the rabbi says, check this out, and he shows me one of his shtaros where they have to enumerate, you know, the how much schnapps they have and how much it's worth. So a guy wrote that he has scotch valued at $150,000 in his house. So okay, so we're selling John Brown millions of dollars of chametz. So what does he pay us for the millions of dollars of chametz? So the way the shtar says, he gives us right now a pruta for each household of chametz, plus a pruta to be kona the karka that the chametz is on. Right, so two prutas for each household. So he gives a, he assesses a pruta at 2 pennies. So he gives us 2 pennies for each. And then the shtar says, and the rest of the value is due in 10 days from now. So he's going to have to pay in 10 days from now, unless he wants to sell it back to us. He's now going to be on the hook for the $150,000 of liquor in that one guy's house in Lawrence, and everyone, and the $150,000 of liquor in all of North Woodmere, and he's going to be on the hook to pay for all of that. So yeah, it could be a legally binding sale that would hold up in court, but the guy would never want it to hold up in court because he's not interested in paying all that money for something. So they'll sell their business. They'll probably overvalue the business, and they'll just put in the document that if it's a $50 million business, so you're buying it for $70 million, and they're not worried that the guy is going to run away with the business. Or maybe, halavai, let him run away with the business. We'll be happy to take his money. So there's no concern like that. So that's why the concern with places like Target became much less of a concern. Now, Target itself, if I'm not mistaken, is a publicly traded company. A publicly traded company is not owned by a Jew. There's all discussion. What if you have shutfus of a Jew and a guy? The shutfus is done in such a way where it's rov gayim, which I think you would imagine is true of any publicly traded company. So generally speaking, the poskim are makel on that issue, either because a corporation is neither a Jew nor a guy, it's a corporation. So it would have a din similar to chametz shel hefker. Chametz shel hefker, there's no din of chametz shavar lav Pesach because it's not chametz shel Yisrael. So there's no knas. So chametz is owned by a corporation, by this entity, is not going to be chametz shavur lev pesach. Or even if you view it as a shutvus, as a partnership, but the majority partnership is non-Jewish, and therefore it would not be a violation of chametz shavur lev pesach for Target itself. The manufacturer of all the cereals, let's say, are all non-Jewish companies. General Mills and Kellogg's, these are all non-Jewish companies. And then you have the middleman. Now the middleman does a mechira where it's a non-Jew. That was, and the other major middleman that used to be a Jewish company was sold to, was actually sold for real forever to non-Jews. So that whole concern became much less of a concern recently. So most of the shailas that, that we get that are actually a problem, you know, so a lot of times the Rabbi Heinemann, I think, wasn't happy with the mechira that CNS does. So that's why Starkate was recommending not to go to Target, because Rabbi Heinemann wasn't happy with it. Others were very happy with it, were fine with it. I think Rabbi Belsky did the Mechira 2 years ago when he was alive. But the others were very fine with it. But that's why, if you call up your rabbi and you say that I bought stuff from Target, but I saw on one of the lists, you're not supposed to worry, he'll probably say, don't worry about it. Because you're relying on a Mechira that's better than Ramesh's Mechira, a lot better than Ramesh's Mechira, because it's not that they sold the chametz that they're continuing to do business with. So that would be fine. Where we run into problems is where you have the actual supermarket is owned by a Jew. So where the actual supermarket is owned by a Jew, and they had chametz on Pesach, they continue to do business, that's where we have a problem. One of our supermarkets here, I think, is actually owned by a Jew. The one on, I think, on Millen Peninsula, is owned by a Jew. Someone texted me a picture that there's a certificate in the window that says it was sold by a rabbi, and it says the rabbi's name. I happen to know the guy. I went to yeshiva with his son. Now he's a conservative rabbi in Florida. I don't know why he's selling chametz for his store here. He retired to Florida, and he was in a shul somewhere in Florida, in a Chabad, and he was talking to someone, and the guy said to him, you know, the conservative shul's looking for a rabbi. He's like, I'm retired, I'll do it. He's, I don't think he's even a rabbi, but he's but he used to come to learn in my morning kollel in Shari Tzvila. Nice guy, very, very nice guy. But I don't know if he knows how to do a mechiras chametz. I don't know if I would rely on that. On that Mechiras Chametz, I tried to do some research to see if he knows what he's doing. But that's the only time you really have a shaila. When you have a supermarket that is owned by a Jew, or a you know, the individual store is owned by a Jew, and they don't do a proper Mechira. Of course, obviously the safest thing to do when you're dealing with these kinds of shailas is just buy from a store that's under a proper Vada Kashrus or a proper supervision where they sold all their Chametz. And I once had a guy who works in Kashrus ask me, last year or 2 years ago, he said, why don't we just tell everybody before Pesach, stock up on all the chametz you're going to need for weeks after Pesach, and include it in your mechira. Meaning everything is relying on a mechira anyway. So the main afkamina, whether I'm relying on a mechira where the supplier is doing business and maybe not doing business, you know, and you're going to have all these questions, your mechira you're doing, right? So your mechira, and your mechira probably includes chametz gomer. Most rabbis will sell chametz gomer. So you're going to do it. So is there any problem with stocking up before Pesach to avoid the entire problem of chametz shavur lev pesach? I didn't think it was such a bad idea. I thought that maybe is a good idea. I heard that Rabbi Simon from YU was very against Mechira in general. He doesn't think we should rely on Mechira at all. He gets rid of all of his Chametz. But most people don't do that. Most people actually do Mechira. We do Mechira on Chametz Gomer. That would solve the problem to the extent that that there is a problem. There are a lot of other shailas that come up that we're not going to have too much time to get into. But just to mention, sometimes you have a Chametz that gets delivered on Pesach. You signed up for some service. Someone said Amazon something. I forgot. Subscribe and
save.
Yeah, and the Chametz.
Set delivery.
Ah, and it came on Pesach. So is that a violation of Chametz Shavur Lev Pesach? They delivered it to your front door on Pesach. So it's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. In Tav Mem Chesiv Beis, you take a look at Maran Kavos. It says that if you don't take possession of it and you make it clear you don't want to take possession of it, like by not taking it into your house or kicking it aside or something like that, then your Chaser Shel Adam cannot be Kona Bal Karcho. It can't be koner for you if you don't want it to be koner for you. So then, l'chora, it's not a violation of chametz shavur lev pesach. Every once in a while, I get a shaila. Someone got a Girl Scout cookie delivery on Pesach. Okay, that you already paid for. Okay, there's lots to discuss. These are some of the basic issues, though.